98.7 FM and 1450 AM. WDLB, Marshfield.
Good morning. This is Pastor Gary Markworth of St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, 8313 2nd Street in Pittsville, Wisconsin. Thank you for joining our broadcast of today's service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Pittsville on WDLB 1450 AM and 98.7 FM. We invite you to our weekly services on Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday morning at 9 a.m. May God bless and keep you now and always.
Service just as began our entrance into the kingdom of the redeemed in the water and word of holy baptism. In the name of God the Father, and of God the Son, of God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart to confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
We continue with the introit this morning, a portion of Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High
will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress,
my God in whom I trust.
For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler
and from the deadly pestilence.
He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge.
His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler.
You will not fear the terror of the night,
nor the arrow that flies by day,
nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness,
nor the destruction that wastes at noonday.
A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand,
but it will not come near you.
You will only look with your eyes. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place,
the Most High is my refuge.
No evil shall be allowed to befall you,
no plague come near your tent.
For he will command his angels concerning you
to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up,
lest you strike your foot against the stone.
You will tread on the lion and the adder. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O God, be not far from me. Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated as we sing hymn 727, On Eagle's Wings.
Thank you. Testament reading is from Moses' book of Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter, offering of the first fruits and tithes. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at the time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then he cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voices and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground which you, O Lord, have given me, and you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the church at Rome, the 10th chapter. The message of salvation to all. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if we confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Place you stand as you're able for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. The temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those 40 days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. The devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you should not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, Lord. confess our unity of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And you may be seated. This time I invite the children to come forward. Good morning. You ever say some funny things? You do? I hope so. Well, when we were kids growing up, at least in my era, we used to say something like, my dad's bigger than your dad. My dad was. He was the tallest in the neighborhood, and he was also wide like me. Also, then somebody would come back, well, my dad's smarter than your dad. And somebody would come back with, oh, but my dad's stronger than all of your dads. Do you ever talk like that anymore? No? You'd probably get in the fight, right, if you did? Yeah. But we know that our dad's words are important. Whenever they called us to come home, he might yell once, then he'd turn to his whistle, and his whistle, believe it or not, could be heard for about 6 blocks. We had a school about 4 blocks away and a park 4 blocks away. We could hear his whistle. We had to come home. He whistled a second time, we better get our butts in gear. And if we weren't home by the third whistle, we were in trouble. Well, when Jesus, all of us have a heavenly Father, God in heaven. Satan was a fallen angel. He wasn't comfortable just being good. He wanted to have the same power as God. And he got cast out of heaven. But that doesn't mean he stopped his work. He works in each and every one of us. In your baptism, we say that old sinful Adam has been drowned, and the new Adam has come, Jesus Christ, into your life, your body, your soul, your faith. Satan wanted power in the worst way. He wanted what God had in his Son, Jesus Christ. He tempted him. He'd been fasting for 40 days. Ah, you're hungry. Turn this rock into bread. All these kingdoms I'll give to you if you only bow down and worship me. Of course, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by the very word of God that comes from his mouth. And you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Final one, he says, throw him out of here. Took him to the temple in Jerusalem. Throw yourself down. Your angels will take care of you. You won't get hurt. God has commanded them to protect you and guard you. You shouldn't tempt the Lord. Because Satan, even though he spoke scripture, spoke it wrong or in the wrong context. God will guard us and protect us to keep us from doing the wrong things. Keep us safe in his tender care. Sometimes we are tempted to do bad things, to be disobedient, right? But we know that we can come back to God through asking for forgiveness in Jesus Christ, who came to save us. That's why he came to earth, so we would be forgiven of our sins, that we could come to him anytime we have a trouble, have an issue, when we know we've sinned. We don't know when we sin and ask for forgiveness. That's why he came. He came so that he would guide us to do what is right. And he promises a great blessing. All who believe in him, who confess him, all who are baptized and believe shall be saved. That's the glorious promise you received in your baptism, that you will have life with Jesus forever. That's the most powerful. It's God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whom we trust and in whom we pray. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus came to be our Lord, Redeemer, and King. His defeat of the devil and all his temptations in the wilderness. He's been tempted like we were, Yet he is the only one who can could defeat Satan. By his death on the cross, he has given us forgiveness of our sins. All the times we disobey your word, he's also given us the life now and the promise of life everlasting. Help us to live the life you would have us live, to trust in your word, both your living word in Jesus Christ and your written word in your scripture. We give thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed. We will continue with hymn 657, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, the other version.
Thank you.
mercy and peace be yours from God, our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by the presence of His Holy Spirit. Amen. Your brothers and sisters washed in the blood of the Lamb. The church year. First, the preparatory season of Advent. Then came that joy-filled 12 days of Christmas, celebrating the Nativity, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, God in human flesh. Next, the day and the season of Epiphany. And now we've entered the penitential season of Lent. The Sundays are in Lent, not of Lent. And soon, 6 weeks from today, we will celebrate and then observe the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ on Easter. 7 wonderful weeks in that season. So we've had preparation, celebration, revelation, observation, instruction, penitence, fulfillment. That's on the first half of the church year. And what a year it is. But there is one amazing thing about all the seasons of the church year. Have you ever wondered what that might be? What they're all really about? It's a three-letter word. They're all about sin. This place, this holy house, this Christian church is here for one reason and one reason alone. For God to expose and to remove your sin, my sin, the sins of His children. That's the only business of the church. That's why you are here. That's why you should be here. The purpose of Lent, of Jesus Christ, of the church, is to take away your sin. Receive God's forgiveness all by His actions, His doing everything, because we poor miserable sinners can't do anything to remove that blot and stain of death by ourselves. Unfortunately, if we don't think that our sin is serious and deadly, that sin doesn't eventually give us up to death, then we don't really need the church. We really don't need Jesus Christ. After all, what good is a bloody Savior if no one needs Him? So we end up simply going through the motions of faith, of religion. After all, nothing really happens here that interests us, right? It's the same thing over and over each and every Sunday. Pastor should get a new idea of what he needs to preach about, right? Some enterprising folks, however, have even redefined church as a social club. Just another charitable organization where we can do good things, nice things, for those other people who need it. The idea that we're all fine and good and squared away, so other people are in need of our deliverance. Well, it may be true, but every neighbor needs your mercy and charity. You need theirs as well. And if we ever lose sight that we are poor, miserable sinners, every word of that really does hurt, or it should. That all the people in the world, or that of all the people in the world, we are the most guilty, the most sinful, the most unclean. That our sin, whether it's in secret or out in the open, drives us out of heaven into hell forever. If we fail to believe that hell is a real bitter place, that there's total isolation, total misery, we in our terror are never separated, ever. If we ever lose sight that we need deliverance from our sins, that our children need deliverance from theirs, our co-workers and friends and classmates need deliverance from their sins, if we ever lose sight of the quiet tragedy that is in us, behind all those easy grins and nice clothes and smiles, then the church has lost its purpose. God put this church here, in this city, in this very place, for you, so He can remove your sin. And that's why He is also here now. We need to take Satan and sin seriously. Satan, the devil, doesn't mind being turned into a religious boogeyman or a cartoonish caricature to scare children into acting right until they finally grow up and can decide for themselves that he really does not exist. He's perfectly fine with all that. Of course, as he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, as St. Peter said in his first epistle, even God's hungry son in the desert. Stealth is Satan's most preferred method. He's happy to be ignored and disbelieved. And sadly, there are many modern churches who have obliged him by editing him out of the Bible story, even this story of our Lord's temptation in the wilderness. They have reduced Satan to just empty religious construct, an antique fiction that no longer carries much weight or sway in the world, a world that is disinclined to believe in a purely evil spiritual entity, let alone in a purely spiritual grace and love and saving entity. You should know that it's no small thing to acknowledge Satan's existence as the Lord Jesus Christ does in our gospel text regarding his temptations. I want you to consider this. Consider how prominently the reach and the reality of Satan figures in our baptismal liturgy, as you hear when someone is baptized at the font. The Word of God also teaches us that we are all conceived and born sinful under the power of the devil, until Christ claims us as his own. So it is a big deal to slap so hard and so seriously at Satan by a firm answer to those questions that you are asked. Just parents and sponsors answer. Do you renounce the devil? Do you renounce all his works? Do you renounce all his ways? Yes, yes, yes. We say it. Our Lord said it in the desert then, and it's been said in your baptism now. Jesus takes Satan seriously and defeated him seriously and for all eternity. And so too, a pastor, if he's to speak truthfully and is not a liar, he must stand before even all you good people who are here today, announce what is true about each and every one of us, that sin has infected us all with death. We cannot escape it. It's festering in our deepest parts, working all the way down and all the way through our body and soul. Of course, the world, and even some Christians, we Christians, sometimes defend ourselves, saying we're mostly good, deep down. But if we mean it, then the world and we don't understand sin as it should be. Sin rots us. It decays us. It perverts us when it touches. And it touches each and every one of us. Do you still need any proof? Have you ever been sick? Have you ever mistreated someone, be they a friend or an enemy? Enemies are always easier to mistreat, right? What grudge are you still holding? Maybe even here in this place with someone or some policy. Have ever been rejected? Have you ever once known tears? Have you suffered an accident? These things are not God's judgment on you for specific sins, but they are the signs of sin that is in all people, in all creation, in you and in me. These things can't happen to sinless people in a pure, sinless world. It's all a residue, a very thick residue of sin. I can prove that you touched a hot stove by showing you your burnt and hurting fingers. I can show your sin by showing you your pain, your weakness, your anger, and your bitterness in this world and even in this place. If your marriage is perfect, your children are perfect, your health is perfect, your house perfect, school, if nothing breaks down, if nothing disappoints, if nothing hurts, if everything is simply milk and honey, then relax. You truly have been blessed, and I would admire you. You'd be safe, for sin has not polluted you. But we know that is not true. If it were, you wouldn't need Christ and you'd live forever. But if your life is not perfect, nor your health, your family, then something deadly is causing it, causing you pain, sorrow, grief, and suffering. It's sin. It is not God, because God does not break things apart for the heck of it, to pollute or hoot or to make some trouble out of something to make you give you something else to struggle with. No, our loving God is peace. And not chaos around you. He's love, not hate. He's life, not death in you, although sometimes we often perceive things that we're not too sure that he hasn't done something to us. We want to blame him, but we don't really come out and say it. If chaos and hatred and sickness and suspicion and death have invaded your life and your family, it's best to recognize it. It is that sin has corrupted each and every one of us. It's deep and thorough. We are all ruined by it and condemned by it. It's a wilderness, a wasteland out there, and we are lost in it forever without a Savior. We're why Jesus is here with us in this wilderness. But Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Look beside you in this wilderness, this desert. There is your Lord Jesus. He too was alone, starving and miserable. He too was stalked, haunted, and hunted and hunted by Satan, the one who seeks whom he may devour. This is Jesus on his way to Jerusalem to die. Why is he here? The one who never sinned. His body, flesh and bone and heart and soul are the purest and holiest in the greatest possible way. Why is he here in this barren place now, hungry, tempted, and suffering like this? If you don't know, it's because you are here. Jesus cannot stay in heaven's peace and glory while you are here suffering. If you lose all things, he loses all things. If you starve and sweat and squirm, he too must starve, sweat, and squirm. If you suffer condemnation, he suffers condemnation. If you are to die, he must die too. He loves you so very much. He loves you too much to leave you in sin's desert, this world alone, even with its bright excitements, occasional splendor, excellent advertising and spin on all things, which are all at Satan's tempting disposal. While this world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will, Jesus is by your side upon the plain, where you are, where the fight is. And Jesus will do the fight himself, hang on a tree, rise from the dead, and ascend, because he holds the field forever. He is the victorious one, always. So something more is happening here as well. Wherever Jesus walks in this desert, new life springs up. Your life. Life come down from heaven, from God to you. Like a leafy green tree heavy with fruit in the middle of the desert where you don't expect it. A tree of life to eat from. So to eat and get life. Long after that tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden is gone. And he is a spring of life, giving water, bubbling up in the middle of your desert, shouting out defiantly against Satan and his carefully cultivated drought all around you. Jesus shouted his word from the cross, Telestai, it is finished. That final word means you and I, in faith, are forgiven. Jesus suffers. Jesus starves. Jesus wanders in this bitter 40-day wilderness for one reason. Because you and I are here. He's not here to empathize with us, to just say, hey, it's pretty bad out there, isn't it? No, he is here to finally get us out of here, to recreate us, to take us back to heaven, to his heavenly Father, our heavenly Father. That's why the Holy Spirit led him to your spot, to the desert. So Christ brings life down from heaven to this spot in the desert. He brings food down from heaven, healing for us, for our hurt mind, our hearts, our bruised body, and our souls, the whole of us. God authored and created us. Sin wrecks and destroys us so that death can claim us. But our Lord Jesus Christ heals us from death, grants us forgiveness. He reconciles and perfects us again in God's eyes. His water is the only water in the wilderness that will save you, So when he says, I will baptize you with it in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and this food is the only food that will nourish you to life everlasting. So take and eat. This is my body given for you. Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Here is life from heaven in this wilderness. Here is deliverance from Satan, the evil one, in all his works and all his ways. Here is cleansing of your soul from your sin. That's why your Savior, your God, your Lord Jesus Christ in the desert is with us now in this wilderness life on earth. That's why his body, his bride, the church, is here, even right here, right now. It is why you are here at this moment. This life, this deliverance, this cleansing is yours. And now, even though your sin is deadly upon you, your God and your Savior is with you. He has delivered you, redeemed you, reconciled you, made you his, not only for now, but for all eternity. Amen. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds alive in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able to sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, hymn 805. Church, let us petition, Lord, in your mercy, as well we hear our prayer. And let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord Most High, you are the dwelling place of your people. You are a refuge for the sake of Jesus Christ, who suffered temptation and death for our salvation and redemption. Preserve us from every evil and plague, and strengthen us in faith, that we may be satisfied with your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. God of all nations, you make no distinction between Jew and Greek. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Protect and provide for the missionaries of your church as they proclaim the word of faith and bring it near to all who will hear, so that more would confess with their mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in the hearts that you raised him from the dead. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. O Lord of all, you bestow riches on all who call upon you. Bless parents with all wisdom as they teach your children your ways, that in all the household may you confess your mouths with their mouths that Jesus is Lord. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, govern the kingdoms of this world according to your holy and gracious will. Protect authorities from every temptation of the devil, who falsely claims sovereignty over them. Equip them to curb what is evil and promote what is good. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
God of all mercy, you answer those who call upon you. Hear our prayers for all people in need of healing and restoration. Bless the ask you to be with Diane Kismarczyk and Pastor Doug Schell in rehab facilities. Gene Bregan, Mark Butler, and Eric Krug recovering from surgeries and injuries. Donna Daschle, Diane Aniston, Stephanie Dyson, Shirley Dye, Gordy L. Sasser, Nicole Gesser, Bella Mink, Jerry Peterson, Susie Peterson, Dixie Plowman, Lori Powers, Chrissy Crawley, James Schiller, Rob Schooley, Patty Stainbrook, Tammy Strzok, and Dan Wilson as they confront cancer. You are those who suffer chronic pain and affliction, including Reverend Martin Bauer, Alexis Besselet, Dave Bender, Pamela Caldwell, Linda Colombino, Jennifer Flugel, Bill Frost, Donna Griswold, Al Grorich, Susan Jorgensen, Reverend Martin Keller, Donna Christine Kapelke, Ileana Krug, Rob Schneeberg, and Samuel Schooley. And also for our brothers and sisters confined to their homes or other care facilities, including Joe Daschle, Mary Ignatowski, Linda Jensen, Mark Jensen, Shirley Kohler, Grace Lyle, Bob Mackey, Angela Wertha, and Margaret Trickle. We ask you also be with Catherine Zernitsky and her family as her death seems to be approaching. Keep in your tender, loving arms, O Lord, grant her a safe and peaceful entrance into your heavenly kingdom, and bless and comfort the family in this time of trial. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we join with our brothers and sisters giving you thanks and praise as celebrate your gift of life and birthdays this week, including Barb Friedman, Jana Lee Darr, Mary Schwanebeck, Nikki Radiman, Courtney Schwanebeck, Dave Bender, Bill Frost, Dylan Weinford, and Tori Martin. May they and all you redeemed by your grace and spirit, O Lord, go in faith, love, trust, and service to you and to one another. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God, as you brought your people to the promised land and gave them an inheritance of abundance, so give us all that we have. Preserve us from greed. Grant us thankful hearts to declare your goodness and gladly support what you would have us do. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, see how the adversary continually afflicts us and walks about as a roaring lion seeking to devour us. We implore you for the sake and suffering of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit, to strengthen our hearts by your word, that our enemy would not prevail over us, but instead, that we may abide evermore in your grace, and be preserved to life everlasting. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And taught by our Lord in trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated as we sing hymn 418, O Lord, throughout these 40 days. The working of your Holy Spirit in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. according to the image of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, and King, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is the promised blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Our time of worship is over. Go forth with God's grace, mercy, and peace as you love, trust, and serve your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Be filled with the help of God.
And we close with hymn 921, On What Has Now Been Sown. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. So I think one of my favorite hymns as well. So thank you for worshiping. Wednesday, confirmation, Bible study tomorrow night. I'm going to start a new unit on Romans. And on Wednesday, confirmation, and at 6 o'clock, Lenten midweek service here, based on Genesis chapter 1 and 3, verses 14 and 15, where God promises the one who will crush Satan's head. So, and be fellowship afterwards. So, enjoy the week. It's going to kind of be like that in the temperature, but about another 8 days before it casts another inch of snow, so whatever. So, have a blessed week.
Ninety-eight-seven FM and 1450 AM, WDLB Marshfield. ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump says new tariffs could be implemented on Canadian dairy and lumber as soon as tomorrow. Maryland lumberyard owner Dennis Woodruff tells ABC if there are new tariffs on lumber,
it's going to hurt my sales in the long run.
But Kevin Hassett, director of the National Economic Council, says the president's goals are simple.
What the president's trying to do is make it so that when we produce something, we produce it at home.
House Republicans have unveiled their spending proposal ahead of Friday's deadline to avoid a government shutdown. It boosts spending on immigration enforcement and veterans health care. It also cuts $20 billion from IRS enforcement. The Secret Service shot a man who pulled a weapon near the White House early this morning. President Trump is in Florida, but the man, who the Secret Service says may have been suicidal, was taken to a hospital. Day 24 in a Rome hospital for Pope Francis, and Vatican sources say there are signs of improvement in the 88-year-old's condition. This is ABC News.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Struggling with back taxes or unfiled returns? Owe the IRS $10,000 or more? With the IRS ramping up enforcement, taxpayers across the country are turning to tax relief helpers. Call 800-885-0622 now. End IRS stress today. Stop collection efforts, wage garnishments, and sleepless nights. Tax relief helpers can help you or your business settle your tax debt quickly and affordably. Call the Tax Relief Helpers hotline at 800-885-0622. That's 800-885-0622. Start your relief today.
WDLB Marshfield.